Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you for the praise reports, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for these praise reports. You are so faithful. I thank you for the intercessors who stand with us week after week, year after year, oh God, pressing in for the sake of the nation, for sake of the church, for the sake of the children. I thank you, Father, that we can all come together in the unity of the faith and seek your face, hear your word, and grow and mature as believers in the body of Christ. I thank you for this privilege, Lord. Come and be our teacher. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love and praise you. In your precious name. Amen. Last week, I shared the word that the Lord had given me for 2023, and that it would be the year of revolution. And the three areas the Lord showed me we would experience revolution was government, finance, and in the church. But 2024, he said his glory was going to pour. So we're building to something. And it's something that is powerful. It's something that is beyond what we can imagine because of what we've been living under for decades. Now, in keeping with what the Lord told me, with the defeat of Liz Cheney, I want to encourage you with an additional praise. After 55 years, January 20th, 2023, will mark the first time since 1967 that no member of the Cheney, the Clinton, the McCain, or the Bush family will hold elected or appointed office in the federal government of the United States of America. That is the beginning of a mighty revolution.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, amen. I didn't say that.
That's okay. Amen. Because it is. It's the beginning of the revolution, where our nation can shift course and get back on track, the one that God has established for our nation. The enemy has had us off track for some time now, but because of the faithfulness of the saints, because of the faithfulness of this ministry, because of the faithfulness of the intercessors to stand in the gap for the nation, and repent over the very difficult issues that we go to our face over, God is hearing our cries, and he is answering our prayers. I didn't realize these dynasties had been in place for this long until I saw that. It's a powerful, and it's like an ignition in my heart for what we are about to see. But tonight, as much as I'd like to really go into the rebuilding of our country, tonight, I would like to talk about the church. Because the church really is and must be, we really need a revolution in the church. If the church were to come to a place where we would see and understand in the fullness of who our Creator is, and you think, well, we know, right, God? Do we know our Creator? Do we? understand what he's done for us? Do we understand our role, not only as his children, but as his body? Do we walk in the fullness of the Spirit? Do we walk as people who understand that Christ is the head and we are the body? And when I say, do we understand this? Do we understand it? Do we see it with our eyes? Do we feel it in our heart? Does our spirit get stirred when we step to the right or to the left, when the head is not leading us down that path? Do we hear and feel and experience the Spirit trying to hem us in when we go off the path he has for us? Because if we don't, we need a revolution. When I saw the nation on that table, and this is referring to the House of Cards vision that I had shared a couple of weeks ago, when I saw the nation on the table and that House of Cards built on top of that mound, and the Lord pulled that card out, that was just before the FBI raid on President Trump. And the Lord came and he blew these cards out, he picked them up, threw them to the side, and he began to rebuild the nation. Part of the rebuilding that we are going to witness is going to be a rebuilding of his church. Who's the church? The ecclesia. Those called out of the world and up to God. That's the Greek meaning for church. Those called out of the world and up to God. What does that even mean? If we're called out of the world, we're called out of the ways of the world. We're called out of the path of the world. It doesn't mean we are not a part of the environment and what's taking place around us. It means we don't immerse ourselves in the ways of this world. When someone looks at us and encounters us, there should be a pricking of the heart that takes place. They should know we are a child of God. Why? Because of our love. Remember the song, they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. I remember singing that in Sunday school. They will know we are Christians by our love. How do we demonstrate the love of Christ? How do we show people whose we are? When they look at us, can they tell we're any different than the other 2,000 people, say, in a Costco? Is the Spirit of the Lord operating in and through you? These are things that we need to ask ourselves, things that I ask myself. Lord, I want people that encounter me to know whose I am. I want them to know that you are my head. I want them to feel your love through their encounter with me. We have a lot of hurting people here in this earth. As I shared before, suicide rates are unprecedented. We haven't seen suicide rates like we are today since our soldiers came back from Vietnam. But now it's taking place in our young people. Because we've been at war, fighting for the soul of this nation. And they have been the soldiers placed on the ground, through Black Lives Matter, through the social justice movements. It's their attention that the elite have drawn upon to sway them along the path they have for them. And because of what's inside of them, they're torn day in and day out over the conflict in the war that's being waged against their minds. They need to see the church arise. And we need a revolution in the church, my friends. We desperately need it. We need the body to hunger and thirst for righteousness and to live a life that demonstrates that hunger and thirst for righteousness. We need to be the hands of service to those in need, the hands of our Savior serving those in need. We need to love the unlovely. Care for the widows and the orphans. Reach into the lives of those that sit alone feeling like lepers. This is the call. This is what Jesus did. We are his body, and he is our head. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What is this passage teaching us? Paul, once the Colossians get saved, Paul is sending forth his prayers. What is his prayers? That they would come to a revelation of who God is in the fullness. That they would walk in the wisdom and the spiritual understanding, having the eyes of their heart opened and enlightened to spiritual truths. That they would come to a place where the veil has not only been rent, but the filters that are over their heart have been pulled back so that they can see into and through the Word of God and glean those precious nuggets that will cause them to be strengthened, to be taught, to increase in their faith and understanding of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to have spiritual understanding. Is to have spiritual truths pierce our hearts in such a way that it transforms us from who we were into who we will be. Why? so we can walk worthy of the Lord. Verse 10, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When we, as children of the King and as the body of Jesus, how can we walk worthy? How can we? My mom did a wonderful series on walking worthy. You should be able to find that on our website. Walk worthy. How do we walk worthy? He has to govern our lives. If we're going to walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, He has to govern our lives. Going back to what I said, He is the head and we are the body. He has to govern our actions. He has to govern and order every step that we take. You think, well, I mean, I have a job. Like, I have, you know, I work at the grocery store. Or I work at a law office. Bless you if you do. I work at a doctor's office. How does he govern my life in this environment? It requires a dedication to prayer and the Word. In 2018, the Lord told me that was the year of refining. And it would bring forth a new breed of believers. And those believers would be fearless. Fearless in their faith. They would be warriors for the kingdom. And they would submit themselves to the refining. Submit themselves to the work of the cross. So that they could arise out of this as a new breed of believers. People that when you look at them, you know there's something different about them. And this isn't just about what you see with your natural eyes. This is about something that you see with your spiritual eyes. Tommy Hicks had a vision in 1966, I believe it was, and he saw the people fighting, the church really fighting to rise up. But when they finally did, when the church finally rose and shook off the bondages that the enemy kept placing upon it, the church finally arose. They were an unshakable force to be reckoned with. And when the body flows in such a unity, you will know your fellow believer. When you encounter them, you will know it with the eyes of your understanding for them to be enlightened. Do you know that when Paul wrote this, they were experiencing severe persecution of their faith? Paul was among the chief persecutors of believers. And that persecution continued, and he was, who was once the hunter, became the hunted. He, in his own life, experienced stonings, lashings, beatings, time after time, as he traveled from place to plant church after church. But there was something in the fire and the fight of the believer of that day that knew when they encountered another believer, because they had become spiritually tuned and we have become spiritually numbed. And God is calling his ecclesia to rise up and become spiritually tuned. This is part of the revolution he wants to do in the body of Christ, that we would be spiritually tuned. In the midst of that is discernment, is understanding, is wisdom beyond what we are capable of today. It's a wisdom and a discernment and an understanding that allows us to see in through what we see on the outside, straight through to the heart and the intent of that heart of those we encounter. You think, well, so I'm just going to know what people's thoughts are? No. What if the Lord gave you a gift like that? And you could see through this image they were portraying to you and see the broken heart that lay within them. And you could speak to that broken heart the love of the Father for their lives. The love of the Father and how He sent His Son to die for them, that they might have not just everlasting life, but they might have fellowship with their Creator. Do we realize that the greatest ache we have as people is a deep longing to be reunited with our Creator? We may feel lost. We may feel afraid. We may feel lonely. We may feel disjointed. But those emotions and those feelings are a deep, innate ache and hunger to be reunited with our Creator. And until we enter into that place, that place within us will always be filled with an ache. We can try to fill it, that void, with all of this stuff in the world. And we will still have an insatiable ache within us because there's a place reserved in us for Christ and Christ alone. So what if we had spiritual understanding and revelation and wisdom, knowledge and discernment, and we could see through to the heart of that individual and pull back the layers and see that is just a lost and a scared individual longing to know that they are loved, loved so much that their Creator sent His only Son to die for them and reunite them with Him. The Bible says that in Jeremiah, that He knew Jeremiah before he was ever formed in his mother's womb. Our Creator knows us. And that which is in us hungers and thirsts truly to know Him. What if we had, as the body of Christ, the willingness to avail ourselves to His Spirit and be led and guided by Him in every encounter? What would things look like today? That looks like a revolution in my eyes, a revolution in the church, where we don't pass by people that are sitting in the pews, but we stop and shake hands because you may be the only person that talks to them that week. And they're just there because they're lost and they're afraid and they see the world falling apart and they don't know what to do. And they're here because somewhere in the recesses of their thinking is, I think there's an answer here. I think there's an answer. Be the answer. Be the one who guides them to the answer. It goes on in Colossians. We are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks to the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for all by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. Verse 11 says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. To be strengthened with all might, that means to be empowered by him. That's dunamis. We don't even have to do this on our own. He gives us the strength that we need. We are empowered by him to do the things he's asking us to do. You say, well, it's really hard for me to talk to people. It's really hard for me to reach out to people. And as intercessors, I understand, because we often spend so much time in the prayer closet. And we are moving mountains through the prayer closet, as evidenced with the end of these dynasties, 55 years, who've reigned in our government. We are effecting change as intercessors. And it can be very difficult to engage with people. But as an intercessor, you feel everything in the room. You feel everything. Why? Because you're an intercessor. And when you spend time in prayer, when you spend hours a day in prayer, your spirit is ignited and it senses the environment around you. We can go to a GOE and spend all day, every day in prayer. And I get on an airplane and my spirit is so ignited with all the emotions, all of the senses on that plane. I can feel them. I don't like to fly, but I am telling you, I can feel everything in the room. The Lord will begin to speak to me about people because I've spent 12 hours a day in prayer. And he will begin to speak to me about what's going on in their lives. This is what happens in the life of an intercessor. If we will avail ourselves to that, we can engage with people. We can see that they're hurting. And we can reach into their lives and help them find the answer. Why is this so important? Because in the midst of a revolution of government, of finance, and in the church, the most important one that we will have will be the one in the church. And the intercessors must pray it through. And we must pray for our pastors. We must pray for our teachers. We must pray for those that shepherd the flocks. We must, as intercessors, surround the church with our prayers. Because when the shaking happens and begins to uproot things, and the Lord begins to repair, He begins to repair the church. It's going to need the intercessor. The intercessor is like the glue. It's like the glue. Nobody sees the glue, but you sure feel it when it's missing. Nobody understands how it works necessarily, but you sure know when it's not working. The intercessor is like the glue. And we, as His people, can help keep things that need to stay in place, held in place through our prayers. As we see structures completely revamped, the intercessor will be desperately needed. There are churches right now, congregations, entire congregations right now, that are having to make decisions because they have been told that they have to decide whether they're going to embrace the LGBTQ+ agenda and allow it to come in to their churches or find another church. They raised the money and they funded that building. This is happening on the East Coast right now. They raised the money and they funded that building. But if they are unwilling to embrace the LGBTQ+ agenda in their church, their pastor and the congregants can find another place to meet. Now that is some serious uprooting. That's serious uprooting. That entire congregation that refuses to comply and embrace the sin of homosexuality and same-sex marriages in their church has to find another place to meet. And they have a deadline. It's only a couple months away. So when I say a revolution is taking place in the church, it's happening now. The intercessors need to keep those that are standing on the side of righteousness together through their prayers, that they will not waver. And that they will press through for the sake of righteousness. Because that is what their head, Christ, is leading the body, the church, on the path of. And they're going to have to keep it together. They cannot relent. They are literally at a fork in the road. Meet in the park next week or embrace what we're telling you to embrace. Your pastor will no longer have a paycheck from us. And you will no longer have a roof. That's rough. Will they embrace the revolution that's happening in their church and the opportunity to see God move on their behalf as they take a stand for righteousness. What would we do? What would we do? We can really and should really ask ourselves that. As intercessors, we will pray for them, but what would we do if this was happening in our congregation? Would we support our pastor as they take a stand for righteousness? Or would we encourage him to bow the knee to this worldly system? These are choices we'll be facing in the coming months. Choices that the church will be facing. When the Lord showed me that vision of the roof coming off, and those that were part of the ecclesia came up with him, and the rest stayed in their seats and shriveled up. This is what he's talking about. Brothers and sisters, this is where we are today. This is the fork in the road. And if we don't have real understanding and discernment, and if we aren't willing to walk where Jesus calls us to walk, we're going to stumble and fall. If you're an intercessor, you're going to be a part of the glue that keeps things together. But the end result of this is going to be a new breed of believers that are unshakable, that the enemy cannot turn to the right or the left, and we will follow hard after God, regardless of the cost. Mom gave a beautiful message last week. I won't give him anything that costs me nothing. A beautiful message that truly depicts what I'm saying here. The revolution is going to bring forth the ecclesia in a beautiful and a profound way. And we will be a force to be reckoned with. And they will know us because of our love and because of our wholehearted devotion to our Creator. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your faithfulness, and I thank you for your word. I thank you. I thank you. In your precious name, amen.